We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game.
It may be the nighttime,
but the sports talk doesn't stop.
Sports talk radio that's live, local,
and not for the faint of heart.
Oh, you didn't know?
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
And pretty much always right.
Don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Text or call 404-741-0929 and be part of the show.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Kia Studios, it's time for the John Chuckery Show. Serving you up sports on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome in on a Tuesday evening on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the John Chuckery Show. Coming to you live, hanging out with you for the full four. We ask you to download your Radio.com app. We know that's the place to catch us when you're not in your vehicle. We know you're not spending as much time there, although definitely more and more traffic on the roads. We'll talk a little bit about that coming up here a little bit later on. But download that. Put that on your device, your smartphone or your smart speakers or your smart tablet or your Game Boy or your Sega Genesis or Commodore 64 or Coleco or whatever you got for Casio watch, I don't know, whatever you got for a device, just download it onto something there to catch us live. Sports Radio 910 The Game is also helping you stay connected with past shows, interviews, and all the content you need. For more info, go to radio.com/stay connected. Social media, find it all at 929 The Game, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all the platforms that are available to you there. As always, the best way to be a part of our show, do it through our personal Twitter handles. Reach myself, it is at JMCH316, at JMCH316. That is all of your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. He is back in Midtown producing the show. Tonight, behind the glass, Jarvis in the building at JarvisD90, at JarvisD90. Well, a busy show as we had a nice long weekend off. I know Jarvis worked last night. I'll ask him about that here in just a second. But coming up on the show this evening, MLB writer Ryan Fagan is going to join us. As you know, this debate between the sides in baseball, players and owners, and they want salary cuts for the highest paid guys and revenue sharing and this, that, and the other. It's, you know, I'm starting to wonder myself about whether or not we're going to get baseball, and not because of COVID and touch isolation and safety protocols and shelter your place and self-quarantining and stuff like that. It may just be simply because of money. And not agreeing, you know, risk versus reward and the kind of money that we're talking about. So we will talk to him tonight. Our buddy Bill Bender, of course, went to the same college as my stepsister, the Ohio University Bobcats. Bill will join us a little bit later this evening, talk a little bit about some college football notes that are going around as we're getting at least a little bit clearer picture about some of the things. And schools will start, looks like June 8th seems to be. I know Clemson announced that football activities will resume on June 8th. So June 8th seems to be, you know, that target number that everybody's putting out there. The SEC, you know, certain schools, Louisville, Clemson, and the ACC. So things starting to kind of get a little bit, you know, know, at least feel to when they might start getting cranked up in college football. So we'll talk to him as well. So plenty to get into with you here tonight. By the way, too, and we'll wait till tomorrow to give the actual tease, but I can tell you that coming up on Thursday, we did get confirmation in discussions with another fun wrestling guest, and we'll actually spill the beans on it tomorrow night. But we're going to tease the tease. Ready? Here's what I'll tell you. Think this. New world order. There's your tease for all of it. Jarvis, how was the festivities last night? You and Sam held down the fort. I did not get to hear. I was late on the road, fell asleep early. It was just a long day yesterday. How did things go with yourself and Sam Crenshaw, the great Sam Crenshaw, one-third of the Pips, of course, along with Gil Tyree and Fred Khalil? How did things go last night on the show for y'all?
Everything went fine, man. It went good. You know, I didn't get a call from Sean after the show saying that was horrible. Or you'll never get another shot to do it again. But everything was fine, man. So no complaints.
Now, who I saw the recap. Was it Dylan that produced last night? Who produced last night?
Yeah, Dylan produced last night, and he pulled the all-time millennial thing of all time. He actually Googled Brown Liquor Music in YouTube to find music for the Brown Liquor Music Hour. It was ridiculous.
Really? So did you give him the first request to kind of point him in the right direction, or how did that work?
Sam gave him the first one. I was about to give him a recommendation, but you know me, man. I was like, hey, man, you gotta learn at some point, young fella.
Right. Yeah, no, listen, I mean, you know, we when a couple times when Dylan would produce the show with Randy and I, Jarvis, Randy would send him a text, and very simply when he would say, like, hey, is there anything you guys need? And Randy's response would be, don't F up. Now, he didn't say the word. He didn't just use F. He typed out the whole thing, don't F up. And that was always our directive to Dylan. So he's learning. But listen, glad everything went well. It's a shame about, you know, we have to teach these young folks about some of these cultural things like Brown Liquor Music. I mean, but listen, everything is a work in progress. So good to hear. I'm glad you guys had a chance to fill in last night. So that's good stuff. I myself took a little road trip. We'll talk about this later on tonight. That was in Savannah. Had a really nice time. And I will tell you, you know, flat out, first and foremost, you know, I just completely decompressed over the weekend. You know, I've kind of joked, I've been overemployed of late. Daddy was tired and worn out. It's been a busy last few months working day and night. You know, I've said before, I work two full-time jobs, so needed some R&R. But it was nice that there were some sports things on for folks to kind of sink their teeth in. Of course, the Tiger Phil, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady deal. Nice to see them raise a whole bunch of money. I'll be honest with you, didn't really watch it. Saw some bits and pieces here and there, but nice to see that that was a nice distraction, even though the weather looked like at first was going to be pretty lousy for those guys, but got everything in. You know, by all accounts, everything went well with that. They had a lot of fun. I know Tom Brady took some shots at the Falcons with, you know, his comment about, you know, what Tiger said, this isn't the Eagles or something like that, and he said something about the Falcons. So, okay, I mean, listen, God bless. He's got some time. Just hope Falcons keep that in the back of their head and keep that in the back of their mind. You know, we'll try to get through it all. Of course, Coca-Cola 600 this weekend. Saw just little bits and pieces of that. But, you know, Elliott kind of blows it at the end, I guess. Bad decision, you know, late pit or something like that costs him. Now you've got, you know, sports turning around quickly. Another race in Charlotte coming up Wednesday. There's MMA action coming up on Saturday on ESPN. The following weekend, there's another UFC pay-per-view that's coming up. So, you know, some things starting to creep their way back in. There'll be some things that can fill in the gaps and fill in the time, you know, as we wait to see what's going to happen with baseball and football and MLS and things like that. So, you know, nice that there were some distractions for folks that kind of stayed around, watched some TV and did their thing. Hope everybody had a chance to enjoy the Memorial Day holiday, as I tweeted out last night or yesterday morning, I guess it was. you know, hope everybody took a few minutes to just kind of reflect and remember and remember what the actual holiday was all about. So it was nice to just kind of get away and decompress. I do see that the NHL has decided that they are going to go with a 24-team playoff, assuming that the season resumes. Our buddy Gary Wyshynski was putting out the story about how the NHL has adopted a 24-team playoff, assuming that the season removes. That's been agreed upon between the NHL and the NHL Players Association. Now, they still have a lot of things to figure out for all of this, you know, as far as safety protocols and this, that, and the other, and, you know, location of play and things like that. But what do we always say here? Baby steps, right? Baby steps, you know, into getting to, you know, the point of actual, you know, on-ice activity or what have you. And I hope if the NHL is smart, and I'm going to keep saying this, that hopefully they're not going to be foolish enough to drag their season out and push it toward football. I was even hearing things like they may go into September. That would be crazy. If the NHL season is going to take itself into September, they might as well just take a gun and shoot themselves in the foot now. That people are not going to be in 140-degree weather. You're already going to have enough people trying to figure out if they want, you know, hockey. I mean, and we'll talk about this with Damian Lillard a little bit later on What's Bugging Chuckery tonight, because I agree completely with Damian Lillard. But, you know, the idea is, look, with all due respect, for the leagues like the NHL and NBA that were on the downside of their regular season, just get it over with. Just get it over with. Give people what they want. You want to get people back on board, just give them what they want. Don't need regular season hockey. Be honest with you, don't need regular season basketball. I saw where Travis Schlenk had some comments to ESPN and Wojnarowski about, you know, yeah, we'd like to play, and our young guy. Okay, why, though? I mean, it is what it is at this point. Hawks aren't going anywhere. What does gathering in Orlando for a couple of weeks do outside of being a glorified summer league? Now, if you tell me they get a draft and they get a summer league, okay. Then the Hawks, you know, can take their young guys and go play. But other than risking injury to, you know, Collins or Trey, or what do the Hawks really gain? I don't personally see anything. You can say, well, you know, the cohesive. Okay, you had 60-some games, and you weren't even going to win as many games this year as you did last year. Nothing about that was going to change. So, we'll talk a little bit more about this in What's Bugging Chuckery tonight. But I 100% agree with Damian Lillard about all of this. So, but we'll see. I mean, the NHL says that they're going to have a 24-team playoff, and the NBA is still trying to figure out kind of their last steps and things like that and where they're going to have it. So hopefully these leagues will come to figure this out sooner rather than later. I mean, with all due respect, too, they've also had a couple of months to start putting the wheels in motion about what they want to do, at least for a plan as to how they need to do things. And you can say, well, you know, there's you know, they haven't been able to have a timetable because of this government and that guy. I understand that. But at the same time, there are some bigger picture details that they could have already figured out. You could have already figured out what kind of playoff format you wanted to have. I know Gary Bettman's been, you know, stringent upon, you know, they wanted to finish the regular season. Okay, I told you 2 months ago why Gary Bettman just didn't call me, and I could have sorted this all out for him, the fact that there wasn't really going to be a regular season. Same thing with the NBA. You knew that it was going to be at least into June before you're going to get any kind of activity going. Why didn't these commissioners just call me? Jarvis could have given him the bat line and the hotline backstage. You could have just called me, and I could have told you what was going to happen. It's not hard to figure out. People make these things so convoluted. I get why they don't want to make a decision, because there's so much money involved. But also, I mean, at some point you realize that, okay, this is not going to happen. No matter how badly you want it to happen, it's not going to happen. Forget the regular season. Get to a playoff format. Let's go. Let's go. Let's get this thing figured out. Let's get it going. Like we said, there's already things happening. NASCAR's figuring it out. Okay, you're not going to have any fans. So suck it up, Buttercup. There won't be any people in the stands. But figure out the format and let's go, especially baseball. Baseball could, listen, you think the strike was bad for baseball and this, that, and the other? Let baseball not be able to figure out a way to come back because of money, and I really think they shoot themselves in the foot. And by the way, I understand what Tom Glavine said. It won't just be players. It will be owners and everything like that. No, nobody will come out good in a scenario where baseball is hung up because of money. No matter what, right, wrong, or indifferent, everybody will lose in that scenario. All right, when we get back, is being 11th good enough for the Atlanta Falcons? I'll explain what that means and what I'm talking about. It is the John Chuckery Show. Back at it here Tuesday night. Hope everybody had a great Memorial Day holiday weekend. Sports Radio 910 The Game and on the radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you on this Tuesday evening. 404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Download your radio.com app. We encourage you to do that. That way you can always catch us outside the vehicle and anywhere you are on the go. Social media, give me a follow. It's at JMCH316. He's at Jarvis D90. We'll talk to Ryan Fagan, MLB writer, coming up in the next segment. So, obviously, as the NFL is organizing itself and trying to figure out as things are opening back up for facilities and all that such, and as our favorite thing, lists come out, the Touchdown Wire, which is part of the part of USA Today Sports, they were ranking defenses going into the season in the NFL. And they put the Atlanta Falcons at number 11. Now, I'm going to read you what they had to say, and then we'll comment about it. The Falcons had as drastic a defensive turnaround as any team in the 2019 season, which occurred when now defensive coordinator Raheem Morris took a more pronounced role. From weeks 10 through 9, or sorry, from yeah, from weeks 10-9, Atlanta gave up 24 passing touchdowns and came up with just 2 interceptions. From weeks 10 through 17, the difference was graphic. Just 9 touchdowns allowed and 10 interceptions. The team lost cornerback Desmond Trufant of free agency, but selected Clemson cornerback A.J. Terrell in the first round. And Terrell is a much better player than he showed in his team's loss in the college football championship. Expect his defense to play far more to its talent with Morris in charge. Now, they put the Saints, by the way, at the number 10, the Vikings at number 9. They didn't go through the rest of the list, but that's the two teams directly in front. So one of the division teams right there in front of Atlanta. So the question I have is, if you said going into the season that the Falcons would be the number 11 defense in the NFL, how far does that get this Falcons team? Well, I guess that depends on a few things. Is, you know, what does that mean as far as sacking the quarterback? You know, where do the Falcons rank when that stat comes along? If you are typically a playoff team, you know, you got to get closer to that 40 sack mark. That puts you in the top 10 usually, you know, and you get to that mark and you're in the upper part of the NFL at sacking the quarterback. So as long as the Falcons, to me, are in the at least top 10 of sacking the quarterbacks, you know, if they're 11th overall because maybe they don't create as many turnovers or maybe they're not as great against the run, you know, I think that their offense has the chance to get back to that dynamic performance that we saw in 2016. Certainly, if their offense doesn't perform, it won't be because they don't have a lack of talent. I mean, certainly they have enough talented pieces on offense that they could mask a lot of things that their defense will be asked to do. And we've talked about it on this show, the fact that, okay, get back to the formula that worked when 2016 happened. Have a dynamic offense, have a potent offense, an offense that puts a ton of pressure on defenses and stays out in front and scores touchdowns and keeps a lead going to where teams have to react with their offense. Teams are having to continuously play catch-up, and their offense gets into a position where, okay, now we create down and distance, longer down and distance. We create scenarios where teams are going to have to throw it more, and so they're going to have to play catch-up and comeback. Now that fits in right into the hands into where our team can sack the quarterback. And to me, that stat will be the – because here's the thing about turnovers that I do believe. I don't think that there is a way to directly have a team that, that creates turnovers. I mean, you could say things like, okay, well, if you hit the quarterback enough times, maybe he fumbles. Yeah, okay, I can understand that. If you blow up enough plays in the backfield, maybe you strip the running back of the ball. Okay, if you have corners that are aggressive, maybe you have corners that have really good hands. Well, you know, they can catch more balls. You know, we always joked about Desmond Trufant and the fact that, you know, if he could just learn how to catch. Okay. I mean, to me, that those things are kind of indirect, and there's a lot of what-ifs, you know, in all that scenario. Sometimes turnovers are just right place, right time, you know, creating opportunity. But I don't know that there's a direct way to say, okay, if you sack the quarterback this many times, it will lead to this many turnovers out there. So I guess that's a roundabout way of saying that maybe turnovers at times are just sort of luck and sort of things kind of fall your way. So that stat doesn't concern me as much as tell me where they are among sacks. You know, if they can be a competent run-stuffing team. Now, say again, if your offense is dynamic and you're scoring lots of points, the other team's ability to run the football tends to go away because that part of the game, all of a sudden now if I have a, you know, if I'm playing 10 or 14 points ahead of other teams, the idea, and listen, has it not happened to the Falcons' offense at times where their defense has been so bad that the Falcons are always playing catch-up? And now instead of being able to kind of dictate the run, because, you know, that was one of the criticisms about the Falcons' offense was the fact that people said, well, they don't run the football enough. Yeah, but there's also a lot of scenarios that this Falcons team was finding itself down 10 or 14 points because the defense couldn't stop anybody. And so that idea of running the football and establishing a run sounds good, but all of a sudden when you start having to chase points, eh, it goes away. Now if the Falcons can flip that with their offense, let their offense be the one that's the aggressor, and let their offense be the one that is scoring lots of points and making teams chase them, well, now the Falcons' defense, if they can play more reactionary to that, now I think they've got a better shot at all of it. So tell me where the Falcons' defense ranks among sacks. If the Falcons are a top 7 or 8 sack team, I think that they'll be better than 11th. Now, I would tell you if this team is Super Bowl aspirations, probably 11th on the outside the top 10 is probably not good enough. And I would tell you that as good as their offense could be this year, if they can sack the quarterback at a high rate, maybe that defense gets into the top maybe 7 or 8. I would certainly think that if we're talking about a potential Super Bowl team in the Falcons, that they've got to be somewhere in that 10 best defenses, okay? And they could very easily flip with a team like the New Orleans Saints. I don't think that the New Orleans Saints defensively are, you know, personnel-wise, that much better than the Atlanta Falcons. You know, can they do some things better? But, you know, you could interchange a lot of things between the Falcons and the Saints' success on defense. And it wouldn't surprise you if those two teams, you know, flipped one another or were a little bit better, a little bit worse than what they are. But when I look at the Falcons' defense, tell me where they're going to finish amongst teams in sacks. To me, that's the stat that I'm going to focus on. We saw that last year. When this team could get to the quarterback consistently and put the quarterback on the ground, not, well, we had pressures, well, we had hurries, where we moved a guy off a spot. You know, all those things that people love to throw out there. You know, even Tack threw that out there. Well, you know, I had this many pressures. Okay, well, tell me how you, when it comes time to renegotiate a contract or extend your deal or get paid your next big contract, tell me how teams are going to value your pressures. Are they going to value your pressures? Or are they going to value the number that when you go to profootballreference.com and it says, you know, the SKS, is that the number that they're going to value? Or are they going to value pressures and hurries? Because I don't know that pressures and hurries are going to get you paid in the NFL. Maybe they'll get you something for it. But at the end of the day, you got to get the sacks for it. So don't tell me about, you know, pressures and hurries. How many times do they put people on the ground? And it was amazing last year when you talk about the second half, when you could have that first and foremost is sack the quarterback. When you could get that done, because in the NFL, it's still about stand in the pocket, push the ball downfield. That's what offenses don't want to do in today's NFL. We could talk about running backs and mobile quarterbacks and stuff like that, but you have to have a guy who can stand in the pocket and push the ball downfield. Yeah, you want a guy that's mobile and can get out and things like that, but by and large, you want a guy who can still stand in the pocket. Pat Mahomes can stand in the pocket and get the ball downfield. Doesn't mean he's not mobile. Russell Wilson can stand in the pocket and get the ball down the field. Doesn't mean that he's not mobile. Aaron Rodgers the same way. But those guys have an ability to be able to stand in the pocket when they need to and get the ball pushed downfield. Tom Brady, Drew Brees, take whatever guy that you want to. You have to be able to do that in the NFL. So offenses in the NFL are going to give you enough chances and enough opportunity to be able to go get the quarterback. You got to be able to do it. You got to be able to put him on the ground. And you saw this defense that when the sacks increased and the consistency and the groups of sacks became there, all of a sudden, this defense looked totally different. Totally different. Cornerbacks played better. Linebackers played better. Teams didn't seem to be able to get as much in the running game or this, that, and that. You know, that snowball effect happens when you can sack the quarterback. Such a valuable skill. You know, it's why Chuck Smith, you know, gets all the credit in the world for, you know, he's the guy that coined that phrase about, you know, how you get paid in the NFL. You know, the quarterback gets the highest. The guy who sacks the quarterback gets the next highest. And the guy who protects the quarterback gets the third highest. It's all about can you get the quarterback and protect the quarterback and have a quarterback. So if you tell me that the Falcons are going to be, you know, at least in the top 10 in sacks, I'll feel much better about the overall defense. You know, 11th doesn't mean a whole lot to me if there aren't a lot of sacks to go along with it. And like I said, maybe that has to come from their offense. Maybe they need their offense. You know, I did like the fact that Dan, at least in the second half of the season especially, was more about trying to put the offense on the field. Instead of, you know, putting his defense out there first and, you know, deferring and we'll take the ball in the second half. And, yeah, I understand the math and the science behind it and this, that, and the other. But if your offense is your best unit and your defense is no good, putting your defense out there to put this team down 7-0 didn't help. And that happened a lot of weeks where, okay, well, you know, we can get the ball to start the second half. Well, what difference does it make if you're down by 10 or 14 points? What difference does it make? You know, I mean, the idea is let's play from a lead. And I think that this team especially, plays much better when they have the lead. Yes, Matt's had his comebacks and this, that, and the other. But like the 2016 formula showed, let this team get out to a lead. Let Matt be able to do his thing. Let our dynamic playmakers do what they do best and put pressure on teams. And then let Fowler and Tack and those guys and hopefully Marlon Davidson and Grady Jarrett, let those guys and be able to push and put the pressure on another team's, you know, offense. Let them have to react to what we do, you know, out there. And certainly to me, like I said, that's the stat that I will look at, because the Falcons, they are going to be young and inexperienced in their secondary. And that includes, you know, even guys like Isaiah Oliver going in his third year, there's still a learning curve for them. What's going to happen at safety? You're going to have guys at linebacker that maybe haven't had as much experience playing there. So tell me that the Falcons sacked the quarterback a lot, and I'll feel better about what that number 11 ranking would mean. All right, when we get back, Ryan Fagan is going to join us, MLB writer, with this latest kind of tete-a-tete about what owners and what players want to get the season back started. It's all next. This is the John Chuckery Show, hanging out with you here on a Tuesday evening, Sports Radio 910 The Game and on the Radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you on this Tuesday evening. 404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Be a part of the show that way. Give us a follow on social media. Stations all at 929 The Game, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Follow me at JMCH316. He's at JarvisD90. Of course, download the radio.com app as well. We encourage you to do that because when you're not spending as much time in your car and you want to listen to the radio station, radio.com app is the easiest way to do it. Well, you know, unfortunately, and, you know, as the saying goes, money talks, still a lot of negotiations going on in the world of Major League Baseball and trying to figure out how the money's going to be split, when things will get back on track. We head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. We're joined by Ryan Fagan, senior MLB writer for Sporting News. Follow Ryan on Twitter at Ryan Fagan. Ryan, as always, appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for spending a few minutes in Atlanta with us this evening.
No problem. How are we doing down there?
Well, we are good. Unfortunately, reading some of these stories that are coming out about, you know, obviously what the owners are proposing versus what players are willing to accept in some of these things. You know, I guess first question is this. Is there any sort of drop-dead date that this stuff needs to be sorted out and worked out to get the season underway, or can the thing be fluid, and if we have to go from 80 to 70 games, they'll do that? Or, I mean, what's kind of the feeling about all of this?
Yeah, and that's a good question. That's something that hasn't been talked about a lot in the last couple of weeks. But because we've had this idea that the season would have to start on July 4th or around July 4th, you know, if that's going to happen, then, yeah, it feels like there's a drop-dead day coming pretty quickly, because you have to have at least 3 weeks of spring training, so you have to start that by June 10th or so, June 15th at the very latest, to have a couple weeks. If that's the case, then yes, there's a drop dead that day. That's not the case, though. I mean, the reality is if it doesn't start until August 1st, that's possible. That's a possibility too, and that's something that very well could happen, because I think what we're going to see is some sort of, you know, truncated season, whether it's 82 games as the proposal is there now, whether, you know, the players push back and say, okay, well, let's do 100 games, let's do a couple more doubleheaders, let's do whatever, let's play into November. Because the reality is we're probably going to see, or I should walk that back, it's not out of the question that we see neutral site playoffs, right? So instead of having games played in late October in Cleveland or New York, you could see the postseason set for San Diego and Dallas and Tampa and, you know, and L.A. and these types of things. So that brings into the possibility of playing November baseball, playing the World Series, you know, pushing up to Thanksgiving. It's not out of the realm of possibility because everything is on the table. And based on the proposal that we saw come out today being reported, really the details have just come out in the last 20 minutes or so. It might be a long, contentious battle over how much money the players are going to be paid, and we could see that pushing the start of the season back until August or so.
Ryan, from what you're hearing, I mean, at this point, I mean, I hate to say it this way, but I mean, is really everything else figured out except money? I mean, is that kind of where we're at with these negotiations?
No, I mean, that's another good question. And no, the answer is no. Everything is not figured out, because there's still a lot of the concerns the players have about safety and testing, and not just testing for themselves, but for the immediate family members who might come, they might come in contact with, and all of these other things. There's still a lot about that as well. You know, Jack Flaherty, the Cardinals ace, replied to a couple of tweets from ESPN's Jeff Passan a couple of days ago talking about that. You know, there's still a lot of questions the players have about those things and the logistics of how that's going to work. And so, I mean, there's so many things that have to be sorted out that it's really just mind-boggling. And that's why it feels like the owners floated that trial balloon a couple of weeks ago about a revenue split. I mean, that was 2 weeks ago, right? And it feels like waiting a couple of weeks to finally submit their actual economic proposal today, when the players would have to, you know, either accept, send a counter within a week or so, and then negotiations from there. That seems like it's an awful short timeline.
Senior MLB writer for Sporting News, Ryan Fagan, joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. You know, we talked, I guess it was last week, about the Tom Glavine story. You know, he had done an interview in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. I know he was doing a lot of media and stuff like that, talking about, you know, he feels like almost no scenario where the players, you know, if it does come down to money, the players are going to lose. But I got to be honest with you, Ryan, I don't think anybody is going to come out as a winner if it does feel like it comes down to money, owners, players, what have you. Where did you kind of fall on all that in the commentary that Tom had?
Well, I mean, as much as the owners make baseball happen, right? They make the money, they do all these things. The players are the face of the sport, right? So I think when it comes to reaction from fans, it's directed most vehemently in this case, and in case with pretty much every labor strike situation we've ever seen in baseball, it's directed at the players because they're the ones that the people know, and so they take a lot of the heat. And so the owners, I think, use that to their advantage and try to put the onus on the players, and that's kind of what they've done here. They say, okay, well, here's our proposal, and then if the players say, well, okay, well, that's not acceptable, then it's guys like Mike Trout and Bryce Harper saying, okay, there's no baseball this year, as opposed to the relatively unknown owners who don't have that public persona outside of their own home city. So, you know, I think it's going to be interesting to see the way this all plays out. I'm not sure that there's going to be a whole lot of good news in the next couple of days, to be honest, because, you know, if the owner's position is that they're going to take a hard stance on the proposal that they sent today, well, then, quite honestly, there's not going to be a baseball season. And they might just go ahead and look towards 2021. And that's the other thing to remember, is as much as this is a unique situation in 2020, right, and we want to get baseball back, everybody would love to see the sport because we'd love to see some sort of competition this summer. The collective bargaining agreement for baseball expires in 2021. So both sides are looking at this as a piece of what will happen in the next negotiations too. And that's very important to both sides. So you're trying to balancing, don't set precedents. You want walk back for the next CBA for the next 8 to 10 years while trying to get the sport to the point where we can play baseball again in 2020. So it's really, there's a lot of things going on for both sides there.
Ryan Fagan joining us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline, senior MLB writer for Sporting News. Boy, this may sound kind of cynical and things like that, Ryan, but let's say a whole bunch of players, let's say a vast majority of players decide that they're kind of like in the stance of what Blake Snell has said, that, you know, I may not want to play or this, that, and the other. You know, the owner, we always hear that the owners would love to bust up the union and you know, all those kinds of nightmare scenarios. Would they go to the level of using a lot of minor league players to have an actual MLB season if they can't get the support of the players' union as is?
I don't think that would happen. I think what is a possibility is that you will see individual players decide that they're not going to play, but the MLBPA as a whole might go ahead and accept some sort of negotiated deal, which again won't be exactly what the owners sent over today, and you will see those spots filled, but you won't see a strike scenario where they play with replacement players. So to answer your question, you might see a couple more minor leaguers if major leaguers decide that it's just not worth the risk that they perceive it to be. That's possible, but it's too much to ask to have replacement players that are going against the MLBPA. I don't think that's a scenario that we'll see happen. I don't think, I cannot imagine that. I think that more likely would be that there's just not a 2020 season.
So Ryan, how do you appease your star players? I mean, what happens to baseball if, okay, Mike Trout, Garrett Cole, whatever, Justin Verlander, you know, take your pick. A lot of those guys say, you know what? I mean, for this year, it's just not worth it. I mean, how does baseball reconcile that? Because, I mean, you know, some of the numbers we're seeing, I know John Heyman was putting out that, you know, Garrett Cole, instead of making $36 million, may make less than $9 million this year. And he may say, okay, I mean, not that $9 million isn't a lot of money, but relative to his health and well-being in the long term, maybe I just don't play this year. Maybe we just sacrifice knowing that I've got other years coming up. How does baseball reconcile all that?
That's a great question. You know, I mean, it feels like this proposal, you know, and really in the 5 minutes before we came on the air, the numbers came out and were kind of verified by other sources. So a guy making $35 million, he says Garrett Cole's making 36, a guy making $35 million would wind up getting 7.8 this year, right? That's a big cut from the $36 million, and it's also a big cut from what the players feel like they agreed to in March, which is a prorated salary based on games played. So by that, you play 81 games of 162 games season. Derek Cole thinks he agreed to play for $18 million. And now to find out he's only going to get barely $8 million, right around $8 million, that's a big cut. That's $10 million less than he thought he was going to get, less than 50% of what he thought he was going to get. So, yeah, there's going to be a lot of negative feelings there, and it feels counterproductive for baseball to say, okay, well, you're our biggest stars, and we're asking you to take the biggest pay cuts. You know, that's it seems like not a great situation, and what you're going to hear it painted as, I mean, I haven't heard this yet, but I'm sure it's going to be, is baseball saying, okay, well, you're our biggest stars. You have a chance to sacrifice for the greatest good, and people are going to love that you sacrifice for the greatest good. But, you know, I mean, if we're talking about sacrificing for the greater good, you know, again, we're talking about arguments of arguing over billions of dollars between billionaires and millionaires. And it's asking a lot for all of your star players, your best, your highest paid players, to agree to a deal like that. And you also have to remember, too, that those are the guys who are the loudest voices in the players' union, in the players' association. So I'm very curious to see what happens over the next day or so as we hear the MLBPA and their response to this proposal, which has been described by pretty much everyone who is privy to it as very disappointing.
Follow him on Twitter for all the latest information surrounding Major League Baseball, good, bad, or otherwise. It's at Ryan Fagan, senior MLB writer for Sporting News, joined us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Ryan, appreciate the time, and boy, I don't know. I hope it gets sorted out. I have my questions about it, but I really appreciate you spending a few minutes in Atlanta, and we'll talk to you here soon.
Yeah, I hope we talk again in a couple weeks about a season that's about to start. That's what I'd love nothing more than.
You got it. Appreciate it, Ryan. When we get back, now that the dust has settled and maybe some of that polish on the new car has kind of faded a little bit, maybe MJ really not as likable as what people wanted to make him out to be and all that. We'll talk a little bit about it. There's some fun stuff coming out around all of this. It's all next. It is the John Chuckery Show, live with you here on a Tuesday evening, Sports Radio 910 The Game and on the Radio.com app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.